Hi, this is your friend Emmanuel Dagger, and you're listening to the Miracle Cafe, the home of transformational conversations that serve to attract even more miracles in your life. The Miracle Cafe is excited to connect you with visionary guests, concepts, and modalities here to assist you in manifesting a miraculous life. It's my deepest honor to welcome you to the Miracle Cafe. Hello, hello, my beautiful friend. This is Emmanuel Dagger, and welcome to the Miracle Cafe. I'm so excited to be here with you and share this sacred moment we are co-creating right here and right now. We have a very special guest later on in the show, but first, let's just set the intention for our hour together. So I just invite you to close your eyes and take a nice deep breath in. Let's just really get centered. Good, and just breathe out, release all the stress of the day, the thoughts, just let them go. Good, so the intention for today is that you and I receive those amazing aha moments, those insights, those revelations that we're meant to receive from this time we are spending together on this show. So whatever we need to receive, that we receive them with ease and with grace. So if you agree with that, just affirm out loud, and so it is. Good. All right. So let's take a deep breath in. Good. And release. And, you know, you can use this setting of intention all the time. For me, I like to use it in the morning. So literally before I, you know, get out of bed and put my feet on the floor, I set the intention that today, you know, it can be different each day. Today I choose to continue embodying unconditional love everywhere that I go, and so it is. Or today I choose to have a miraculous day, or I'm a miracle magnet. Whatever it is, just kind of setting that intention puts the energy out there. You set the tone. That's what we're doing. And then we basically, you know, let it go, let the universe kind of do its thing. And at the end of the day, we can kind of take stock and see, oh, wow, my day was kind of miraculous, or I was more loving than I usually am. So it really does make a difference. And I invite you, if you feel intuitively guided, to also try it and see how you feel. So let's get to today's energy update. And I'm going to be releasing the new energy forecast for November in the next few days. So you want to stay tuned for that. And you can check out for that at magnifiedmanifesting.com under energy forecast. So that's coming out very soon. If you are, you know, in anticipation, just know that it's coming very soon. But one thing that I want to talk about that I've been feeling and I wrote about is the concept of remembering, really understanding what that is. You know, yeah, we can remember past experiences and, you know, sometimes they feel good, sometimes maybe they don't feel so good. But what we're talking about here is divine remembrance. I like to call it divine remembrance. And we're remembering who we really are. We're remembering what life is about. And while we are in that process of remembering who we are also mirroring that and remembering others for who they are. And again, what life is all about. So who are we? That's the first question we ask. And we are these amazing, vast, omni spiritual beings having physical experiences. You know, a lot of times, you know, as we're going on through life and everything, we may just think we are physical beings and we're having a spiritual experience. But the truth is we're spiritual beings. We're these grand universes in these bodies experiencing more of our true nature through the divine senses of taste, smell, sound, feeling, touch, all these things that we get to experience in this form are gifts. And so who we really are is far greater than just a physical being. We are, that's just an aspect of us. It's a one part of who we are. But the truth is we are this amazing, beautiful, grand, spiritual, perfect being. And when we remember that, then imagine what will happen on the planet. And that's what's happening right now. Look at the Occupy movement. Even though there's some things here and there, you know, I talked about it last time, that, you know, they're still trying to figure out what the message is. Or look at what happened in the Middle East. Or look at what's happening with the financial systems. Or look what's happening all over the world, in South America, and, you know, Asia, everywhere. They're coming together. And this is because we are starting to look beyond and knowing that there has to be another way. That's the beginning. And then what we're doing is we are starting to remember who we are. And as we remember who we are, we start to go within, you know, and we really start to figure out who and what it is that we are. Then we start to come together and unite, and the world starts to mirror that. We start to experience a more positive society, less judgmental, more embracing, more respectful, more kind, more fair for all, and very inclusive as well. You know, right now, or for a long time, society has been very exclusive. So there's been, you know, certain groups, you know, or different systems. It started with even, you know, monarchy, where the kings and queens were regarded as the highest, and then you have, you know, the dukes and the dames and all, whatever. So we are moving out of that, and we're moving into where we are all equal, we are all one, still having our own unique expressions, however, really coming together as one energy that will provide this shift in consciousness. And the amazing thing about this whole shift happening right now is that it's all starting with ourselves. A lot of us have been doing the work for decades. I know many way showers from the 50s or 60s, maybe even before that, have been waiting for this time for so long. And even our ancestors, ancient ancestors, the Mayans, you know, are just an example, have been waiting for this time right now, where we're at. And we are now in that time of remembrance, true remembrance. This is all happening because we are remembering. That is the most simple way that I can describe it. Everything else is just a result. The first step is that divine spark, that divine remembrance. And we each, it's like a domino effect. We're activating each other. We are lifting each other up. And we are starting to ignite that, you know, divine remembrance when you see someone, when you hear them, when you fully recognize them for who they are, you're remembering them. And they begin to remember themselves, and then they will start to do the same for others, and then it's just this amazing domino effect. So that's kind of what's going on right now. It's still forming. We are moving through the 11/11 gate on November 11th. Of course, there's many people all over the world who are going to be doing meditations. I mean, millions and millions of people are coming together to just really set the tone that this unity consciousness, this love, this joy really, really anchors itself into physical form. And it's not so much about the date itself, because truly 11/11/11 was 2009, because 2 + 9 is an 11 year. However, because there are so many people focusing on this date, one day, it creates that vibration. So it's the coming together. It's that whole idea of where two or more, when two or more gather and come in, you know, agreement of having a common goal or a common vision, then it becomes magnified and it comes to fruition much more quickly. So that's a very powerful day. Just heads up for those, I'm sure those of you who are listening already know about it, but for those maybe who may not be aware of it, check out maybe some local meditation groups or, you know, there's probably a lot of online events, things like that, that you can check out on 11/11. All right, so that is kind of the energy of what's going on right now. So let's get right into our gratitude. So what are you grateful for today? Just take a moment, you know, gratitude, just setting that energy of gratitude attracts more things into our life. The energy of gratitude, it's like a magnet, attracts more blessings into our lives. And then the more we're grateful, the more we get. And it's not about getting, it's about really being open to receiving. So when we're grateful, we're really opening ourselves to receiving that which we are grateful for, right? So what are you grateful for? I would like to share my gratitude, and while I do that, just, you know, think about what you want to say, what you're grateful for, and just affirm it out loud with me as I do mine. So I'm grateful for, let's see, I'm grateful for the presence of all those listening right now. I can really feel that, you know, we're all energetic beings and I can really feel you here with me. So I'm just so grateful. Thank you for all the support, the love, the support that you've been giving this show so that it can really, reach, you know, you've been sending it to your friends so that it can reach so many people, elevate consciousness. I'm just so grateful for that. And we're all in this together. You know, when I'm sharing this, this is you telling me this stuff, and I'm just sharing it with you. So I just wanted to say thank you for your presence. And Raina in LA is grateful for her beautiful family that always makes her smile. Beautiful, Raina, thank you. And Mark in Luxembourg, beautiful, is grateful that people are all over. Let's see here. Mark in Luxembourg is grateful that people all over the world are coming together to bring forth the new unity consciousness. Yes, I am so grateful for that too. And if you have a gratitude that you would like to share on the air, please submit it to Emmanuel@miraclecaferadio.com and I will make sure to absolutely read them on the air. So thank you, thank you, thank you. And once again, if you have a gratitude, send that to Emmanuel@miraclecaferadio.com. And now I am so honored to have a very special guest with us today. As an award-winning producer, successful business leader, and integral coach, Tripp Lanier has helped hundreds of professionals tap more of their innate potential to realize their creative, personal, and entrepreneurial visions. Tripp is also the host of the popular show, The New Man. Tripp, thank you for being on the show today.
Thanks a lot, Emmanuel. Appreciate the opportunity to come and talk.
So today's theme is all about the new man, and it's clear, obviously, it's clear the collective consciousness is shifting into a higher way of living and being, and we're seeing it happen all around us. And a big part of that is really seeing that we're moving out of the old fear-based mentalities into a more heart-centered way of co-creating with our, you know, with each other, with our families, with our friends, everyone around us. And a big part of this change is that we are also releasing the collective beliefs of what we thought a man should be and look like in our society. So, Tripp, a big part of your message is talking about the new man. From your perspective, what does the new man mean, and what does he look like?
All right, good question. The big thing, I get asked this a lot, and people want me to point to somebody and say, this is the new man. Like, this is some kind of cookie-cutter ideal that they've got another set of rules they can go by so that they can just go on autopilot and, okay, I'm just going to follow what this guy does. But the new man doesn't have a cookie-cutter ideal. There are no rules. It's really about helping guys be brave enough to really be themselves and to think for themselves. In the work that I do, I just see so many guys that are really in pain. They're suffering and they're depleted because they're always looking outside of themselves for direction, for a sense of purpose, for a sense of identity, and they're abandoning who they are in the process. So The new man has brains. He thinks for himself. The new man has heart. He's compassionate for himself and for others. He's got balls, right? He's firm. He's not a pushover, but he's also not a domineering jerk. So he owns his desires. He owns what he wants, and he also owns his sexuality. That's kind of a shadow part of some of the other developments that we've seen in men as well, is like push that stuff away. Mm-hmm. And I believe that the new man sees the world as a place to create. It's a place to play. It's a place to give his gifts versus, okay, I'm just here to try and take something or to make a quick buck. Mm-hmm. So I think that, you know, in a kind of an integral sense, used that word just a few minutes ago, is that the world is a place to – the new man is a guy that transcends and includes the good, the healthy, the positive stuff from that we've learned from men in the past, mm-hmm. while also leaving the qualities that don't serve us any longer. He's willing to leave those behind. So the tagline of the new man is beyond the macho jerk and the new age wimp. I think that sums it up pretty well.
Nice. And for those listening, especially the men, and are struggling to think for themselves, or even under, you know, maybe they think they're thinking for themselves, but now are having some insights and thinking about, oh, where am I not doing that? What are some insights that you can offer to them to kind of transition into becoming the new man?
I think it really, we've got to clarify what has us doing what we're doing. So am I wearing this shirt? Am I eating this food? Am I doing this workout? And am I doing the spiritual practices? All of this in order to get something like external validation or to fit in or to whatever. There's this kind of external need. And it's not bad. It's not that that's bad. But a lot of times we're not paying attention to our own experience. So does what do I want? Am I owning what I want that will energize me and invigorate me, actually bring more passion and love and fulfillment and satisfaction into our lives? We're on this train where guys are needing to make more money or to be more famous or more, but they're not paying attention to the fact that the experience of doing that is depleting and painful and creates more suffering. So I think it really breaks it down to, like, how does it feel? Like, you wear this shirt versus that shirt. Does it energize you or drain you to wear one versus the other? The food that you eat, the relationships that you have in your life, the people that you choose to surround yourself with, the kind of work that you do in the world, your own spiritual practice. Get clear on what you really want, and from there, you know, create the baby steps to start to close that gap. And that's where coaching comes in. Mm-hmm. That's what I do with guys, is just to help to bring more clarity of what they really want and then have the accountability to follow through, to make it a reality. But the big thing here is just remembering that we have an experience and not to dismiss it. So whenever we do something, what's the experience that it gives us? Is it more fulfilling or is it empty?
Nice. And really, while you were saying that, I just got giving ourselves permission, you know, really giving ourselves permission to do what makes our heart sing, do what makes us happy and joyful, instead of thinking what others want for us, doing what we want. That's kind of what I was feeling when you were talking about that.
Yeah, absolutely. And I've noticed that in my work that if I ask a guy what invigorates you or what energizes you, he doesn't know. There's so many men and women, really, that are going through the lives that have just ignoring their experience, maybe because it's too painful or because they trained themselves that, okay, in order to be happy, I need to climb this mountain and plant the flag up there, but they're not paying attention to the things that they can do on a daily basis that will bring fulfillment.
Well, you've kind of been talking about this the whole time. Maybe you haven't used this specific word, but authenticity. So can you delve a little bit deeper about the role of what authenticity plays in, you know, becoming the new man?
It's huge. You know, just being willing to be honest with yourself. That's the way I like to put it. Are you willing to be honest with yourself? Are you willing to own that this is what makes you happy versus this other plan, the things that society has told you is going to make you happy, or your lover, or your children, or your family, or whatever, all of these expectations? Can you simply own, hey, wait a second, this is what's really going to make me happy, this is what really brings fulfillment, because it may threaten everything that we value, our sense of identity, the relationships, the life that we've got right there. So what if you're no longer trying to fit in, or what if you're no longer trying to avoid, you know, rocking the boat or whatever? That by being honest with ourselves, we can start to see that we can threaten the life that we've created. And this is where, when I'm coaching people, it's like, be willing to start small and to be playful with it. Start to find those little boundaries and just have fun with it instead of bringing this like, oh my God, I'm going to wreck the whole thing, you know.
Right, right.
Just own what it is that you want and then bring little baby steps to the process and have fun with it.
So, yeah, that's great advice. So can you give us an example of a baby step that, you know, someone who has created this whole life for themselves and is kind of questioning it, what is something that, like a little step that they could do?
Yeah, great question. I work with a lot of people that realize that they no longer want to be doing the career that they're in, that they bought some kind of a script, you know, hook, line, and sinker when they're in their 20s, that this is what they were going to do with the rest of their lives, and they never challenged that script. And so I'm working with them in this process, and they realize that what they're doing no longer serves them, so they go into this place like, oh my gosh, I have to completely change my life. I have to completely change my career. And my whole thing is like, let's just start with the things that actually invigorate you and energize you. Why don't we just start to do those more and more on a daily basis and build your life around what really serves you and orient your life around those things more and more? Because I believe the choices, the bigger choices, will take care of themselves over the long run. But they typically want to have this like, oh my gosh, I have to go in and tell my boss tomorrow that I'm out of here. And then what am I going to do? How am I going to feed my kids and, you know, put them through college and everything? And so I just help them focus on what can you start to do today that will bring more joy and more peace and more fun and just good energy into your life, because that's going to bring that creative juice that you'll need to be able to make the transition to get out of that. So come back from this big, huge thing that you have to do and just make it as, okay, what's the thing that I can do today?
Mm-hmm. And I love how you said bigger choices kind of take care of themselves later on. So, you know, if someone hasn't been working out, they could start there. Or if someone, you know, has always loved playing basketball, then they could start there. So it can be that small, right?
Exactly. And a lot of times the people are, if they're ignoring their experience, they've got habits, they've got things that they're doing on a daily basis that are working against them. So they're not taking good care of themselves, whether they're not sleeping enough or eating well or working out or doing meditation or doing the things that really energize them. So in their world, the only thing that's going to help them feel better is by quitting this job. Mm-hmm, and you know, that may be that can definitely be on the list, but there's so many other things in the foreground that they can be doing on a daily basis that'll bring them more energy and help them feel better about their lives.
Mm-hmm. And it doesn't have to be, like you said, again, just it doesn't have to be extreme. Sometimes we really think it does, but then it can be a smooth transition. And who knows, they might still want to end up working where they're working because now they have, you know, more fulfillment that they're giving to themselves outside of the job, right?
It could be. You know, I've made huge transitions in my life, and they were clunky and awkward and painful, but yet they were actually part of a much longer transition too. It wasn't that I just woke up and, you know, today's the day I'm quitting my job, and I just came up with it that day. It was, you know, a few years of being in that place. So,
well, that leads me to kind of a pretty interesting question. So, what led you to be doing what you're doing, like being able to help people, especially men, really? How did you get that passion and motivation to do that?
I wanted this information. I needed it personally. It wasn't about, like, that was it. Like, I was the guy that I was fortunate enough to be successful early on, that I started a company right out of school and had money and had a lot of liberties. I had a lot of the things that our society says that if you work 40 years, 50 years or whatever, that then you'll have it and you'll be happy then. Well, I got a version of that early on. And I realized, wait a second, this isn't rainbows and unicorns and, you know, leprechauns running around here. This isn't what's bringing my life real fulfillment. So what is? Like, I bought into this script. So what is going to bring me real happiness and real fulfillment? And so I got hungry. What really works? I was reading a lot of books, but I realized that for me, like, I needed demonstration more than I needed information. I needed to see how people were actually doing this in their lives, and I just felt like my thing was to help bring the wisdom off of the mountain, that it didn't need to be so damn exclusive. That it was how can we take this wisdom off of the mountain and translate it into a language and a vibe that more men like me could understand. So I just, in my work and over the years and in my own friendships, that so many guys are silently and privately suffering with these, with the very similar issues, confusions, and worries and anxieties. And they're all in this place of thinking that they're the only ones going through it. That they're terminally unique. And it's such BS. It's such crap. It doesn't line up. So I was like, how can we bring this information down off the mountain and what really works and make it fun? Make it so it's not this dry, you know, PBS version of the world where there's no fun and no entertainment, where we can make it entertaining and also really, really valuable. Like, you walk away from one of my interviews or a coaching session like it's a really good meal. So that became what I wanted to have, and it serves me as well in the process.
Yeah, and I'm sure it's amazing to see, you know, the transformation from someone when they first come to you and you know, after you've been working with them for a while. I'm sure that's amazing.
Absolutely. So, it's really, I get paid to have amazing life-changing conversations every day. It's really, really, really cool.
Yeah, and it is inspiring that you found a part of your bliss or joy through serving others and helping others. So, you know, for anyone who's listening right now who may feel called to be of service, you know, maybe that's it maybe doesn't look the same way as yours, but, you know, I invite you guys to kind of pursue that as well, because it's very fulfilling to serve others. So the next question I'd like to ask you is, let's expand a little bit. So how do you think the new man will or is impacting the global society?
For me, like I said earlier on in our talk, that the new man looks at the world as a place to co-create something, to give, to contribute. And I think one of the old ways that we can really give up are the old world views, is that the world is just a place to get something. Mm-hmm. That, you know, whether it's seeing customers as just numbers and like we've got to convert them into sales, and or hey, that country over there has resources we want to exploit or whatever, that how can we do this in a way that everybody wins, that it's still smart business and it's still good for the other person as well. So I think it's a time where we can't tolerate doing business or politics in a way that only benefits one side while doing harm to the other. So I believe if we're more responsible for ourselves, if we're more responsible for our well-being and our own happiness, that it naturally turns into a place of like, well, I want to make sure that other people are happy as well, and that we can enter into relationships and co-create partnerships or whatever from that place of like, how can we make this work for everybody? That doesn't mean that we fall flat or that we are pushovers in the process. I think that's part of the fear, is that we won't get what we want if we have to compromise, and that's not what I'm saying. But I'm saying that we do call on ourselves to be more creative. And I also think that in terms of a global society, there's a way of being, there's a way of thinking that the world is here to save me. There's a sense of entitlement that, you know, my God is going to come and save me, or that my job is going to be the thing that gives my life fulfillment, or even my partner or my children, that it's all this external thing is where I'm going to feel this. And I think that's another way of taking. That's another way of going through the life trying to get something from others. So, again, if we're more responsible for ourselves and our happiness and well-being, then we're not waiting to be saved by our jobs or our partners or the world. We're in a place to contribute. So if we flip that script and everybody's looking for our ways to contribute and to give, then that to me is a really great place to start. It sounds very idealistic, and I own that it is very idealistic, but what if you just started on a small level? What if I went through the day and just found one way to do something helpful for something else? I still did all the rest of the stuff I normally do, but I did one helpful thing today. I think that it could catch on from there.
Like a domino effect, yeah.
Yeah, it feels good. I've had clients that are really successful but completely depleted by what they do. I asked one of my clients, I said, look, I want you to write down the thing that gave you the most fulfillment all week long. And so he was tracking all of the things that he did. He was just gathering data like a scientist. And I want you to just gather all the cool things that he did. He had a really exciting job. He got to work with really famous, cool people, all this stuff. And you would think on the outside, like, wow, he's got it made. He was depleted. It wasn't working for him. at the end of the week, the thing that was most fulfilling and gave him the most joy was that he helped an old lady find a light bulb in Home Depot.
Nice.
All right, but in his world, that didn't fit. But from his experience, he realized that that was the thing that gave him the greatest experience. And so why not look for those opportunities more and more instead of like, gosh, I need to make more money or I need to win more awards and then I'll be happy.
Yeah. It seems as though the money and the awards, all that stuff are just kind of results or side, well, I call them side effects of just, you know, if you are pursuing what you want, focusing on your happiness, then you can experience those and you'll be able to enjoy them. But if you're, you know, consciously making an effort to get those things going outside of yourself, kind of like you said in the beginning, and then you get them, then you're not fulfilled, right? Because you're still making it about that's what you want. But being able to go inside and really, like you said, being of service to yourself, to others, taking care of you know, your what makes your heart sing, and then that stuff is just like a result of this stuff, if that's what you is meant for you to experience. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I think so. It's a popular saying that our success, that happiness is a product of our success. Mm-hmm. And, you know, in those times where I was groveling and I really needed something, I seemed to be repelling, you know, the success that I wanted. It was so hard at that time. I was in this needy place and I wasn't taking care of myself and I was toxic and I just seemed to be pushing it away. When I focused on the things that made me happy and I prioritized the things that made me happy, then I felt more attracted. You know, people seemed to be coming to me and like, hey, we want you to talk about this or we want you to coach this or do that. It's like, wow, really? So this idea that, okay, I have to do all this stuff first, and once I plant my flag at the top of the mountain, then I can be happy, I think it has an inverse effect, that it zaps our happiness and our well-being, and we go through life in a toxic way. So put your happiness first, and I believe that success becomes a product of that.
Yeah, perfect. You said it better than I could have said it. So, okay, I have a question. Those guys who have, you know, were kind of taught to be confident, you know, can't really, you know, we got to always look confident because we don't want to look weak, all that stuff. But how can we be confident without allowing the ego self, the ego part of us, to kind of take control? How can we differentiate between the two?
Well, the first part is that I'm not a big fan of this whole ego battle. And in my world, it just creates more drama. Now we have a villain, and then we hopefully have a hero. So how do we embrace it? How do we embrace this part of ourselves that's saying, hey, I have a need. There's a part of me that needs to be loved. There's a part of me that needs to feel safe. There's a part of me that needs to know that everything's going to be okay. And to me, it's not about battling the ego. It's about sitting down with it, having a beer, and saying, all right, what's going on? What do you really need? What's going on here? And so ego can get this really bad name in our, you know, especially in spiritual circles. And to me, it's just about how do you create a more healthy connection with that part of ourselves instead of pushing it away like the bad kid and locking him up in the basement. Because I think that's a recipe for having him come out and really, you know, bring some bad stuff. So my thing, build a good connection with it. What do I really need? What's going on here? Why am I acting out? Why am I reflexively acting in this certain way, and start to drill down from that. And I believe that there's a bigger part of ourselves, right? There's a bigger part of ourselves that wants to contribute and wants to give to the world. Like if we weren't worried about being safe or if we weren't worried about always being loved or et cetera, what does that part of us want to do? And then we can start to access that. It's an ideal, right? But we can start to access that part of ourselves and just get more and more clarity. Oh, well, that part of me would wear this shirt today and eat here and go do this workout and hang out with these friends and that kind of stuff. And the smaller self is the one that's most concerned about safety, control, fear, only the things that it can manage. So we begin to like start to see this highly generalized and very polarized world, but it's about being in relationship with both. What safety do I need right now? What level of control do I feel like I need to have? And what's the bigger picture? What's the bigger thing that I really want to express and do in this moment? And if you could, if you're willing to have that kind of a conversation with yourself, and this comes through journaling, I do this with my clients, like, lay it out there. Get it all out there in front of you, because it's running the show whether you want to acknowledge it or not.
Right.
So get it out there in front of you, and then start to ask yourself, okay, I'm scared. I need some sense of safety here. I want to make sure that I belong and that I'm not alone. Okay, good. Just lay it out there.
Mm-hmm.
And then now, what do I really want? How do I really want to respond to what's arising from this place?
Mm-hmm.
To me, that's going to be where we're ultimately more satisfied and fulfilled, to help ourselves and to help others. Okay, I need to have a certain level of safety, and this is what I really want to do. And you start to create in that way. But I think it's a bad recipe to go like, oh, there's my ego. That's the bad part of me, and push it away.
And I completely agree with you, you know, that whole school of thought that, you know, we have to try to get rid of it and stuff. Well, I mean, it's there for a reason. Obviously, I think, you know, it has a purpose of being the observer, being able to experience this, you know, a beautiful sunrise, you know, a nice meal, whatever. Like, that's what we are. So making peace with it, loving it, nurturing it instead of hating it, like you said, is just going to be the first step in kind of allowing it to work with you, right?
Exactly, exactly. And have fun with it. Like, it's just like, oh, there I go again, right? There's that thing I do. All right, yeah, I've been doing it for the last week again. Okay, now it's like meditation. You just come back. Okay, what do I really want? What do I really want to focus on right now? What do I really need?
Right. And, you know, it's interesting because a lot of times someone who is not confident is usually allowing kind of the lower self, they call it, the part that's kind of worrying, stressing, fearing, all that stuff, to take control, whereas someone who is truly confident kind of works with it harmoniously. Would you say that as well?
Yeah, the big word here is trust, right? Can I trust that things will be okay if I orient my life around what really matters to me?
Mm-hmm.
Can I trust myself to show up and bring the best part of me into this situation? And a lot of times the answer is no, so we shrink back and we play this game to not lose. We go into like, well, what do I have to do to make sure I don't lose, versus what's possible here? Let's play from that place. Let's go into the situation based on what's possible, instead of, oh my gosh, we have to avoid all the things that could hurt me.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
It's trusting that it's ultimately trusting that we'll be okay even if we fall down.
Mm-hmm.
Like, even if the thing, you know, crap hits the fan, that we'll get back up. It'll sting and it'll be messy and nasty, but you know what? I'll be okay. I'll eventually get back up.
Wow, that's awesome. Trust. So those who are listening, I always take notes too. So I'm taking that note. okay. Well, I wanted to actually make sure, because we're almost running out of time. I wanted to make sure in regards to personal relationships, romantic relationships, you know, with your partner, things like that. What are some, you know, to the men listening right now, and even women who can share with their husbands and partners, what are some key steps or elements that a new man can do or practice to help their relationship thrive?
I think everything that we've been talking about applies to relationship, whether it's your relationship to yourself or with your romantic partner.
Mm-hmm.
But it boils down to you taking 100% responsibility for your own happiness and well-being. Much of the time, many of us are like, okay, I just need to find this person, and then I'll be happy. Then it'll all be okay. They view relationships somehow as the finish line, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like just getting to this person. And then what that ultimately does is it places this huge burden on our partner to make us happy.
Mm.
And what a stressful, crazy place to create. Like,
right.
Okay, dance for me now, girl. Like, come on, make me happy. Like, it's your job, you know? And so it's just a really – I think that's a terrible place. We get into these bartering things where we're bartering for sex, or we're bartering for validation, or we're bartering for permission to do certain things. Flip it. Take 100% responsibility for your happiness. Expect the same from your partner, and then co-create. All right, I'm doing great in my life. You're doing great in your life. How can we help each other out? How can we contribute to one another's lives instead of trying to complete each other's lives? I think that old romantic comedy kind of a script just is worn out, and I think it's a recipe for disaster.
Yeah, resentments and stuff like those resentments and, you know, expectations and disappointments over and over again.
Exactly. It's your job. Recognize that if you're finding yourself pointing fingers and blaming your partner, all that kind of stuff, it's really your job. It's your job to be happy. You have a choice in this. You have an ability to respond. So what is that? What do you really want?
Right, and then shifting it on the focus onto yourself, that thing that you think you're needing from them, give to yourself, and then, you know, you'll be showing up way more joyful, happy, satisfied, whatever it is, in the relationship so that it can thrive.
Yeah, and if you've built your relationship on this old paradigm, then expect it to be a little bumpy, right? Because you're basically switching out a different engine.
Yeah.
But at the very least, this is what's going on. If you've got that mindset to just take care of yourself and realize that you're there to contribute to one another's lives, not to be responsible for each other, I think a lot more is possible.
Mm. Oh, wow. So, all right. And the next thing that I wanted to ask is, through all of your wisdom, knowledge, your experiences, everything that you've gone through, what is one of the greatest lessons you've learned so far?
I would have to say that it's trusting my experience. Like, I know so many, there have been times when I felt stuck and my brain was trying to strategize what to do, what needs to happen, and what moves can I, you know, play out 5, 6, you know, years ahead or whatever. I'm trying to make it all happen in my head, and I realized at some point that I was ignoring how I felt and that I was imagining that if I did things a certain way according to a plan in my head that would make me happy, instead of actually listening to and feeling my own experience and saying, well, this is what makes me happy.
Mm.
You know, going in this direction and doing these particular activities, this is what makes me happy. Coaching from that place, even interacting with others and acknowledging, wow, when you're saying that, I feel really tense or toxic or whatever. Instead of ignoring that, learning how to speak that up and put it in the conversation. So many of us are living our lives from our neck up, and there's so much more available to us if we integrate everything else that's happening below the neck. And for me, radical shifts started to happen when I oriented my life around what actually made me feel more whole and complete.
What an amazing lesson. All right, well, we are out of time, but I did want to make sure that our audience can learn more about you, your work. If you have any upcoming events, could you please share all of that with us?
Absolutely. There's so much free stuff available at thenewmanpodcast.com. Again, that's thenewmanpodcast.com. There's over 100 interviews that I've done with amazing experts and authors and cool people all around the world. And there's also a free video series I've created called The New Manual. And if you just simply go to thenewmanual.com, a lot of what I've talked about today, I go through in more depth there through a simple video series that you can watch online. So check out all the great interviews at thenewmanpodcast.com, and then also visit thenewmanual.com and sign up to watch that video series.
Beautiful. So, Tripp, thank you for embodying the new man. Thank you for, you know, inspiring others to also begin to step into that as well. And just thank you so much for being on the show, and you're welcome back anytime.
Thank you so much, Emmanuel. It was a lot of fun.
Thank you so much. So we're going to take a music break, and when we return, we're going to have a wonderful mini healing session. Stay tuned. Welcome back to the Miracle Cafe. You just listened to Om Mani Padme Hum. It's a really powerful mantra, and it translates to the jewel in the lotus, and it's the mantra of compassion, and it's one of the highest mantras of mankind, gifted to mankind. So really, really powerful, and you can always check it out on YouTube. You can just put Om Mani Padme Hum. And I'm sure there's a lot of different ones that you can listen to. Really, really powerful. So since today our show is all about the new man, I thought that it'd be important to integrate the divine masculine within each of us and kind of heal some of the misconceptions around the masculine energy. And this goes for females as well. You know, every single one of us has both the divine feminine and divine masculine energies within us. So this goes for everyone. And when we heal right now the divine, the masculine energy, the lower aspect, and transmute it into becoming its highest aspect, then both males and females will experience miraculous transformation. So, as you know, the work that we're going to be doing is applied quantum physics, and you can check my website, magnifiedmanifesting.com, to learn all about it. But for now, let's just go ahead and close our eyes, take a deep breath in, just nice and relaxed, and gently release. Very good. So do I have your permission to connect with your energy? If you want that, just say yes out loud and give me one moment. Good. And the energy that we're working with is pure unconditional love energy. It's the highest form that flows through you, through me, through the earth, through the planets, through the universe, through the animals, everything. It's that life force energy of unconditional love. It's the space in between the space. So what we're going to do is, can we ask, I'll call it universe. However, you know, some people call it creator, source, universe, spirit, higher self, whatever it is. But for now, we're going to call it universe. So can we have the universe give you the highest wisdom, knowledge, and understanding on a deep subconscious level of what the masculine energy represents and make yours the same as the universe? Would you like that? Good. Take a deep breath in and release. For any time you may have bought into the illusioned aspect of the masculine energy, that it's all about greed, it's about, you know, control, all that stuff. Can we go ahead and show you all the positive lessons you were meant to learn from those experiences now? Any trauma that you or your ancestors experienced from those illusions, would you like to release those traumas now? If you want that, just say yes out loud and feel the energy. If you're energy sensitive, feel that energy from the universe just pouring in through the crown, the top of the head, into the body, down into the solar plex, down through the legs, into the earth, and just completely grounding and anchoring. Good. Take a deep breath in. And release any anger, resentments, rejections, regrets, guilt, shame, grief, frustration, suffering, blame, disappointment that went along with the buying into the illusion of the masculine energy. Can we go ahead and pull, clear, heal, release, resolve all of that? Good. Can we show you how to connect with the highest aspect of the divine masculine energy within you? Can we show you what that looks like? Because each person is unique, so it'll show up in a certain way for each person. Good. Take a deep breath in. And what I'm getting is that it is all about action. So putting things into action, it's the divine spark. So allowing that part of ourselves to really, really come through. So can we show you how to embrace the divine masculine within you and download you with what that feels like? Can we show you that it's safe to accept the divine masculine within you and to embrace it? Can we show you how to love it? Good. Take a deep breath in. Can we show you how to nurture the divine masculine within you? Good. And released. Good. All right. So can we call back all your energy from all time, space, dimension to this present moment so you feel anchored back into your body, allowing this work to show up in physical form or something greater? If you want that, say yes. Good. Take a deep breath in and release. Gently open your eyes, feeling relaxed, excited, feeling transformed. Just notice what shows up in your life in the coming weeks and really, 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 really be grateful to the universe, because no matter how big or small the shifts feel or seem, it could be an insight, it could be a whisper, it could be a huge opportunity, transformation, whatever it is, be grateful, because the universe always will bless you with more when we are grateful, because it's like literally a response to that. All right, so thank you so much for creating this hour with me. Thank you to Trip for joining the show. I know he's busy, and I know he has lots of opportunities to speak different places, and make sure you check his website out. And I just wanted to extend my gratitude to Trip again. And I want to thank you as well for tuning in, and I'm just sending you lots of love. I will check in with you in 2 weeks. Talk to you soon.
Thank you for tuning in to the Miracle Cafe. Sign up for our mailing list at miraclecaferadio.com to find out more about upcoming shows and special events. Also, by signing up, you will receive a free powerful energy recording titled Living Your Highest Vision. Sign up today at miraclecaferadio.com, and I look forward to co-creating a miraculous journey with you.